Welcome back, everybody, to another episode in the DistressedPro.com professional podcast series. Today, I've asked somebody a little bit different from our normal type of guest to come on. His name is Brian Kreuzberger, and the reason I asked him to come on is that I heard him on a pretty big podcast called Mixergy. That is, it's an entrepreneurial podcast for startup founders. And I heard him speaking about how he's doing what he's doing, which is selling over email, or at least getting into sales via email. And with all of what I've heard from my members and from some subscribers about the difficulties in penetrating accounts and in really establishing that first real contact, I thought, I've got to have this guy on. So Brian worked at startups with no leads. He struggled cold calling, finding qualified leads, and getting rejected, just like everybody that I've talked to in this audience is dealing with today. He discovered a way to use email to get a meeting with any decision maker at any company he chose. And from there, he built on that discovery until he had a complete step-by-step system to generate his own qualified leads on demand. So today, he's generated more than 50 million in business startups, VoodooVox and Jingle Networks, now Marchex. I don't know if I said that right. Have raised $109 million in venture capital from Goldman Sachs, SoftBank, Apex Partners, and his clients include Verizon, MasterCard, Unilever, Best Buy, Home Depot, McDonald's, GE, and Bank of America. And he lives in New York City, and he's married with one child and another on the way. And Brian, thanks for coming on here to talk to my folks, because they sorely need to hear what you have to say. And I knew it just as I was listening to that particular podcast with Andrew Warner of Mixergy. I couldn't even get out of my car because I had to sit there and listen to the whole thing because it was just so applicable to exactly what I'm helping folks with today. But it was just in such like a scientific way, or I don't know what it is, but I'm very happy to have you here. Brian, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on and, excited to share some techniques and tips for email and how to get your foot in the door and generate new business.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I'd love to do. If we could leave here today having given the audience something that they can take away and go implement, that would be awesome. And so before we started speaking here on the podcast, Brian and I had an opportunity to chat about just how our business works in the real estate business, because really, Brian, you come from a little bit different background. You're not coming out of a real estate background, right?
Right. Yeah. I come from, more of a technology sales background. But, I was always, I'm in my 20s, I'm cold calling executives, trying to sell them this, software package from a startup no one's ever heard of, no brand equity, and trying to reach out to Fortune 500 companies, guys who are in their 50s, who have, 1,000 other sales reps, banging down their door. I did call on and, generated business with Bank of America, MasterCard, and a bunch of other financial companies, but definitely don't have a real estate background other than buying my apartment in New York City.
Right. But what's interesting is as you're talking about these organizations and how you had to get in there and all that, one of the things that's really a big difference for a lot of the folks who want to start working with banks and credit unions and other institutions like this to acquire or broker their REO or notes, like one of the big differences that they first run up against is if they've been in real estate for a while, then what they're used to doing is mostly dealing with private sellers, and sometimes it's a distressed seller, or sometimes it's not. But mostly they're not used to working their way through an organization, and so then when they find me, or when they've found Distressed Pro, or when they've just decided that they're going to go out there and they're going to start really getting to like the root of the deals, which starts with the lenders, then they hit this wall where they're like, oh, this is not what I've been doing. Because it's a business, it's a company, and it's different, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, anytime you're reaching out to an organization, there's not one you know, there could be hundreds, there could be dozens of people, depending on if, you know, you're going after a, say, a, you know, big bank or a, you know, a smaller credit union. You know, there could be dozens to several people that would be involved in the decision, or there could be a committee involved in the decision, and selling to or influencing, you know, one person versus influencing a large group and navigating that between, you know, several different people. The first issue that people have is that they treat it like it's one person, or I'm talking to one person and I'm going to get this deal done, you know, at a certain price. And, you know, they're concerned over that price and they have to bring it to their boss or their VP or, you know, senior VP. And, you know, they're not getting the deal done because ultimately, you know, they're working for a company. It's not like the individual who owns this, who's willing to sell it for that price and can make a decision right there on the spot.
Yeah.
So, you know, so the first thing is you actually have to go in, and when you go in cold, you know, if we're going to cold email into or reach out to, you know, these organizations, the banks, you need to go in at the right level, because even if you're talking to, you know, a level within the organization, what were some of the titles that we talked about?
Sure. So there's different titles and maybe different departments, but a lot of times you'll have like an REO manager or an asset manager, or you might have a workout officer or a vice president of workout, like that. Those are some of the titles.
Okay, so if they're at the manager level, they probably don't have the ability to approve the deal that, you know, you want to put on the table or the deal that you want to broker.
Right.
So you want to make sure that you build a relationship, you know, with their manager at the, you know, at the VP level, senior VP level, and then work yourself down. Because if you're at the wrong level, you know, the concern is that the people at the managerial level, you know, they want to cover their ass. You know, they want to make sure that they don't, there isn't a lot of motivation for them doing that much better, right? They look better in their boss's eyes, or maybe they get a little bit better bonus, but, you know, they don't want to risk anything. And, you know, that's something you have to have in mind as you're reaching out. And, you know, there's a whole system that we go in so you can get to that, say, that senior VP level or the president level, you know, of like a credit union. So, you know, once you're there, you actually have a seat at the table, you can have real conversations, and, you know, you can get some business done.
So what do you mean by a system?
A system.
So I was a
programmer in college, and the one thing I learned is I don't want to program.
Okay.
And the other thing I learned is an if-then statement. So, you know, if this happens, then do this.
Okay.
And so that's how I approach selling. I was always looking for, you know, if I got this objection or if this thing happened, you know, why did it happen, you know, and then what do I do now? So I created a whole system, you know, on breakthroughemail.com, going through how to approach and how to cold email into any organization, so you can get, you know, 90% response rates, you know, when you do outbound email prospecting into those companies. I found, and I did years of cold calling, and I hated it because I was, you know, I was interrupting the person's day. I was dealing with gatekeepers. I was leaving voicemails. You know, they weren't at their desk. They didn't respond to voicemails. It just kind of felt like you're wasting your time, you know, reaching out to these people who really don't want to, you know, no one wants to be telemarketed to.
But if you're sending an email, isn't it easy enough for the recipient to just press delete?
Absolutely. So email really can be no better, right? They get 100 different emails a day. They, you know, they're getting blasted with all kinds of emails. They don't know you, and they can easily just hit delete or, you know, forget about it. So, you know, the most important part of, you know, the email is actually, it's the strategy that you're going to implement, and also what you say, how you communicate, you know, the opportunity or the offer to the audience that's reading it. And, you know, and that's why I actually created this whole course, because I had the system that I didn't share with anybody for years. And, you know, and I realized there are other people that are having the same problems that I did. And, you know, why not create a, you know, a system, you know, to show people how to do this.
So when you say that you were using it for years, what kind of deals were you doing over email or getting started over email?
So, like, what was the product or
not so much the
revenue size?
Yeah, revenue size or, you know, the complexity level. I think, you know, one of the things that happens with my crowd is that, you know, we're talking about even small assets. We're talking about hundreds of thousands and or millions of dollars, you know, and so when we're talking about that, there's a certain. I just want to make sure that we can map this to you know, my side of the business.
Yeah. So the deal size ranged from, say, I'd say $100,000 to about $1 million.
Okay.
And, you know, the companies were, you know, Fortune 100, Fortune 500. They could be kind of medium-sized type companies, you know, General Electric, Home Depot, Bank of America.
Right.
Wells Fargo, MasterCard, you know, those types of organizations where, and it's mostly in media. So we were targeting the, you know, the marketing departments and also the agencies. But, you know, the fundamentals of, you know, how humans make decisions.
Yeah.
And, you know, the social hierarchy within an organization are the same.
Oh, sure.
You know, I don't care if you're going into HR or the banking group or, you know, the marketing or the sales team or, you know, whatever it is. The great thing is that, you know, all these companies are really kind of structured the same. The people behave the same. And, you know, they're in it for themselves. You know, companies aren't the ones making decisions. The people that work at companies are the ones making decisions. You know, and the people that work at these companies, they have families, they have lives outside of work, they have, you know, they want to do a good job, they want to go on vacation, you know, they want to do things other than work, frankly.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when I work with people on their cold email, you know, we take that into account. We take all of that into account as kind of just like a baseline. You know, what are the, you know, human motivators and what's the social hierarchy within the organization? And we use, you know, what is a challenge, something you're up against, and use that as an asset or, you know, a leverage point, you know, in the emailing.
Okay, so what I really want to try to do is help folks understand, because I think if they haven't had the benefit of already being, and I've had the benefit of already going through a bunch of your stuff and really learning a bit. So let me see if I can bring this in to the non-performing loan and REO world, because a lot of what you're saying really, you know, when you're working with banks and credit unions, you're saying the same thing. You know, is the same drum that I've been beating, which is that these are folks, they're employees of a business who are tasked with a job that they have to do. You know, we're not talking about, you know, again, we're not talking about private sellers. We're not talking about people where they have some emotional attachment. It's their home. They live in their home or whatever. These are people who get up, they pack a bologna sandwich or whatever, and they go to work, and then they come home, and in between they have to, you know, have meetings and this kind of a thing. Right. So in a typical situation, in like a community or regional bank, you might have like an asset manager. You could call it, you know, you call it whatever you want. It might be an asset manager, a special assets person, or credit risk. But they're going to be the person who actually has the file on their desk, who's responsible for it. And it could be that I'm going to back up and I'm going to say that we're not yet REO. This is something where they're still working out the loan. So we'll call them a workout officer for this exercise. And then they're probably going to have someone that they report to, and that's going to be a vice president or senior vice president. And then that person is going to report to maybe a committee, or else they're going to report up the line to like a C-level type person or president. And depending on the size of the asset, decisions may go all the way, or how big a hit you're going to take on the asset, decisions may go all the way up, or they may stop with the guy in the middle. So with that sort of framework in mind, can you give us just kind of broad strokes what it would look like, how you might approach something like that?
Sure. So let's just talk about the emailing strategy.
Okay.
Right. So the first element of this is, you know, reaching out to the organization, deciding who it is that you're going to write to. Right.
Okay.
So you're going to have to figure out the titles. You'll have to get their email addresses. And, you know, from what I understand, Distress Pro has that. Like,
right.
You have the ability to get all the access to, you know, the 7,000 banks, 7,000 credit unions, and all the contacts. But who you're going to select and reach out to over email is actually a really, really important step, and it's something that most people miss.
Okay.
So, you know, the approach that you take is, say that, you know, you have the asset manager, and the asset manager reports to the VP of asset,
Yeah, you can call it special assets. Yep.
Yes, special assets.
Mm-hmm.
And that person reports into the SVP of special assets.
Yeah.
And then that person reports into, say, a president.
Yeah.
Of the organization. Or, you know, and then it could be broken out into, you know, commercial loans under a million, commercial loans above a million. So there's all these different people, you know. So you have to say, okay, well, I'm looking for commercial loans under $1 million, or looking for loans at, you know, the $10 million range. And most of the time you can actually find that type of information out in, you know, in their title. And what we do is, rather than just say, okay, well, it's the special assets manager who's working this, that's who I'm going to reach out to. Because that person may or may not respond to you. And what you do is you actually say, okay, well, if I really want to actually get to the VP of special assets, because that's the person that the asset manager will take this to once they, you know, they say, hey, I think, you know, I talked to Brian, and, you know, what he has, what really looks interesting here is his offer. Let me take this to my boss. Let me take this to the VP of special assets and see what he thinks, because he's really the one who's going to make the decision. They won't say that. There's a way you can ask in an initial meeting to understand if you're really talking to the decision maker. I'll just give that to you guys. What you want to do is you want to say, you know, what does your decision-making process look like? So you want to ask that question phrased exactly that way, because you want to understand, if they were to make a decision, is he going to be the final decision maker, or does he have to take this to a committee or somebody else to look at that? Because if that's the case, you're really in trouble. You think, you know, you have this opportunity, it's going to close, but if you don't have the ear of the, you know, the real person making the decision, you're going to have somebody who has more on the line to lose than to gain to represent you, who, you know, they can't remember exactly what it is you do, and you're empowering them to essentially, you know, sell for you or represent you.
Right.
And they're going to have questions, and, you know, really the best case is that you get on the phone with, say, the VP or the SVP. So that happens at the very, very end, right? So people are upset that, you know, when they do get the lead, that they're not getting the deal, and they're kind of wondering why they're not getting the deal. And that mistake actually happens at the beginning. So to circle back, you know, we have the special assets person, we have the VP of special assets, we have the senior VP, and then we'll say a president or a CEO, if it's, you know, the like a smaller credit union with, like, say, five banks. So what we do is we actually email all four of those people, you know, with at least three different levels.
Okay.
Right? So if it's the case of a big bank, it would be special assets manager, the VP of special assets, and the senior VP of special assets.
Okay.
And then one other person that you choose. And if it is a credit union, you would reach out to, say, starting at the CEO and then, you know, down two levels to, you know, whatever the roles would be, you know, at the credit union.
Right.
So what happens is, since those people report into those other people, they will delegate it down. And what you're doing is, so there's a whole template that we could actually give everybody. It's, you know, on breakthroughemail.com/banks, B-A-N-K-S. And everyone can get a template. There's 9 steps to writing the email. And, the first step is deciding who to reach out to. But the subject line you want to use is appropriate person, because that's really what we're after. We're trying to find the appropriate person for us to talk to relative to, say, our broker services or, you know, investing in their distressed assets. And that's really, you know, really quickly, you have to go into and get to the point for these people. And you also have to speak at, say, 3 different levels. So the special assets manager, the VP, the senior VP, and, you know, you want to create an opportunity for, you know, everyone you write. And you actually tell them that you wrote the other people. And what happens is you actually
seeing people on there, or you're not? I just want to understand.
Yeah, so that's a good question. No, you don't want to CC people, because it makes it too easy for one person to respond and say, you know, thanks but no thanks, or we'll keep your information on file. What happens when you write separate people separately, they respond, you know, many times they can actually respond and refer you to different people. One person will think it's this other guy. Another, you know, the senior VP will think it's the, a VP in a different office. So, you know, with these large banks, there could be a lot of different people that you meet with, or, you know, there's an opportunity to, you know, find, you know, do a deal together with.
Oh,
and
sure.
They'll refer you and think of different people. What happens, so because people want to cover their ass, you know, we're using this social hierarchy to our advantage, and the senior VPs, the CEOs, the presidents, the VPs, they haven't gotten to that position on merit alone, right? It's not because of their ability. Part of it is their ability to play the game, you know, within the social or corporate hierarchy within any one of these organizations.
Yep.
And that is a really strong thing. And so rather than, you know, being up against it and not knowing it, which, you know, frankly, we don't, you know, we can work there a year and not understand all the nuances, you know, of these companies as far as who's doing what, who doesn't like who, and who does, and who's boys with the other one, and, you know, and that kind of stuff is rampant at these, like, large organizations. We, you know, we use in our structure, in our strategy of the email, we implement that into the email. So, you know, in that first email, it creates kind of a cluster between all these people that they don't know who the appropriate person is, for me to reach out to or for me to connect with. And once you have a referral to that person, they have to take your meeting because, their boss has just delegated it to you. And, you know, if the VP is your end guy, you actually want to write to everybody above him.
So I just want to summarize so far, just to make sure that I understand, because it seems like there's some moving parts. So the first thing I want to do is try to identify, at least to the best of my ability, what that chain might look like. And I want to get 3 or 4 folks in, including somebody who I think is going to be on sort of the front line or grunt level. I don't know if that's the best term to use. And then also somebody who's really going to be at the top of that chain. And I'm going to lead with a subject line that says appropriate person for all of these. I'm not going to CC anybody. And then I'm going to email all these folks, separate emails to try and find out who's in charge. Am I on the right track so far?
Yeah. Yeah. The first step is just deciding who do you think the decision maker is. Right. So if you have done a deal with any bank or credit union in the past, and the person that you were working with, say the executional person, right, maybe the manager,
yeah,
had to take it to somebody,
yeah,
like, you know, hey, let me have, you know, this person look at it and get back to you. That's the person you need to meet with.
Right.
Whoever the executional person took it to, that is your target. So it's that person and then everyone above them that you write to.
Wow.
And people will have to tweak it and test it, as they reach out to people. The great thing about email is that, you know, there's really no fear of rejection.
Right.
The people that take the free course, I think get typically about a 40 to 50% response rate.
Okay.
From their email. The people that go through the course, they're typically at about 85% response.
Hmm.
There's always going to be people that just aren't interested. And
what's the big difference there that you see in what happens from 50 to 85 or 45 to 85?
It's the email pitch, right?
Refining it.
In the email, it creating an opportunity for the person who's receiving it.
Okay.
You know, like what's in it for me? Right. I'm going through my day. I'm at work. I'm drinking my cup of coffee. I just got out of a meeting. And this email lands in my iPhone, right? Like, why do I care?
Yeah.
What are you going to say that's going to compel me to respond and actually is going to, you know, incent me to, you know, to want to talk to you?
Right.
Like, what kind, like, how are you going to help me? So, you know, people buy, you know, based on three factors. You know, they buy based on fear. Right, fear of losing out, or fear of not performing, or fear of, you know, having a bunch of assets that you're stuck, you know, you're stuck with. They buy based on frustration. So it could be like a frustration of you have this loan that you know you're going to have to foreclose on, and you don't want to because you know how frustrating the whole REO process is, or, you know, desire. You know, what is something you desire? You know, it's going to make your life easier and make your life better. You know, maybe it's getting a great price. What was it, par value that you said?
Yeah, that's when you pay the full amount or the face value of the loan. Sure.
Yeah, so getting, you know, par value on your loan, right? That would be great. If I could just all these underperforming loans or these, you know, foreclosed properties. And I just get them all offloaded, right? That could be something I care about. And,
sure.
And you really have to think, like, actually close your eyes and think of the person who's a VP who, you know, he goes in his day, he shows up at work, he gets his cup of coffee, he sits down at his desk, he looks at his email, he looks at his calendar, he talks to his assistant, and, like, what does he care about? You know, what does she care about? Her,
right.
You know, her husband calls her, you know, they're talking about the kids. You know, I imagine most of these people are, say, in their 30s or 40s, so they probably have families.
Yeah.
And you have to get in their mind, and you can actually do this if you close your eyes and think about it. And it's not about, like, how long have you been in business or how great I am or everything that I've done, you know, in business. In your special process and our, you know, whatever, it's about what does this person care about? You know, it's like ease of use, it's, you know, trust, credibility, you know, ability to, you know, for somebody to actually communicate something effectively that creates an opportunity. And the problem is most emails are garbage.
Yeah.
You know, people forward me bad emails all the time. So I get, you know, I see, you know, what people are sending
right.
to people, and they're not creating an opportunity. There's no benefit for the receiver.
Right. Let me tell you about my company kind of thing.
Yeah. Let me tell you about my, you know, hi, my name is Brian Kreuzberger. I work at XYZ company. I thought it would be really interesting for us to meet because, you know, of how great I am. If you're available Tuesday at 10 a.m. or 2 p.m., I can be available for a conference call. You know, I look forward to talking to you, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know who you are. I don't care. Your name was in the subject line. You know, it was on the end. Like, you don't have to, you know, re-communicate your name, put it in your signature. You have to understand the medium, and you also have to create an opportunity. There are specific words. So I sent 10,000 individual emails, and, you know, the sellers and the companies that are using the system, they're sending out, you know, 1,000 emails a day now. And
you're saying that you've sent out over 10,000 emails like this?
Yeah, so I've sent out 10,000 individual emails over my career.
Yeah.
You know, cuffed them, wrote them differently, tested different things, and, you know, we're always looking for word choice and strategy, and there's a lot of bad emails that we wrote, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there is a process. And, you know, the great thing about email is, so we talked about some of the disadvantages. The great thing about email is you can scale it. Somebody else can do it, right, once you get the actual emails written.
Yeah.
It can be an assistant. It can be a virtual assistant. It can be, you know, kind of a junior-level person, an intern, you know, the neighbor across the street. You pay them $10 an hour to do this process. I mean, you should write the email, but somebody else can, you know, generate it. Our company can do it. We do that for companies.
So it's like a script or a template that you come up with is what someone would work on, is getting something that's really solid that they're going to use over and over.
Yeah, you have to get the core points in the email, and then you'll potentially customize it, right? So if I'm writing a credit union in Boston with 10, you know, 10 locations, or I'm writing Bank of America,
yeah,
the message is going to be a little different.
Oh, sure.
You know, and if I'm writing an organization out in, say, Arizona, where the market's different than it is in New York City, right, the message is going to be a little different. So, so you always have to, like, I don't like to just blast out emails to organizations. I always try and customize it as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, with every email, you have to think in terms of, okay, what do these people care about? What does their environment look like? And, you know, from what I understand, that's how they can also use Distress Pro to, you know, find out some of this information to pick, you know, the best targets and also the best targets for your business. Like, where will you be the most successful based on what you've done in the past or what you're an expert in, right?
Yeah.
Like, matching up that bank or organization and you and your, you know, your ability or your network, you know, in what you know. You know, maybe you really know San Francisco, so you want to, you know, reach out to local organizations in San Francisco in that market.
Yeah, we definitely are some local, you know, it could be that you're looking for particular asset types. It could be that you're only looking in a specific region. It could be that it's a certain type of asset only in that region. And so definitely, I think, you know, I can see how that would make sense to really narrow that down up front. And that's part of what Distress Pro does, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, picking the right targets is actually the second stage in our system. You know, it's more important than even writing the email. Because if you get in the wrong room with the wrong organization, you won't be as successful, or you won't, you know, be able to do the deal because you don't have the qualifications that somebody else does. But if you choose the right, you know, bank or credit union based on, you know, where you have the most credibility, you're more likely to get the deal as well.
Right. So tell me a little bit. I know you've set up a special page for folks who are interested in learning how to use this to penetrate. They're going to use it, obviously, penetrate banks and credit unions, maybe hedge funds and this kind of a thing. But you mentioned a free course. What are you going to get when you I have a free course too that I offer. What are you going to get when somebody subscribes to your free course, or is it a download, or how does that work?
Yeah, so what we just had, breakthroughemail.com/bank.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah, with an S or no S?
No S.
Okay.
B-A-N-K.
Yeah.
And, so go there, enter your name and email. You'll get a cold emailing template. It's 9 steps of how to actually construct your email.
Okay.
I go through each one of the steps, a little precursor on, you know, kind of why this has worked and some of the numbers. And we look at the subject line, the first sentence, the second sentence, how to ask for the meeting.
Okay.
Your email pitch, like how you actually write what, you know, what should be in your email pitch, like how, when you create the opportunity, and then how you close the email as far as, you know, asking for a time to talk to them.
Okay.
And then, your or referral, which is, you know, the other thing that you want, because more likely than not, you're writing people that aren't the right people, and they're going to delegate it and refer you to somebody else. And then I go into actually how do you then forward that email to the other person and ask for that meeting and get that meeting. And then, you know, other parts of the course that we have, you know, we go into even more depth, you know, on the system. And then I actually go into what do you do and say in those, you know, in those sales calls or in those meetings so you get the business and close the deal.
Wow.
But that's a little outside of it, you know, what's in the, you know, the free course. And then I also, you register for my email newsletter, and I go into other techniques that work really well.
Okay.
There's ways to automate this. So Yesware, CountApp, BuzzBuilder, FollowUp.cc, these are all services where you can go out and you can upload your templates into the system, and the system will send the first email. They'll tell you if they read it. They'll tell you if they read it, if they forward it, if they open it up in a different office, if they, you know, obviously you'll know if they responded, and, you know, you can generate the second email and other subsequent emails, put all your templates in there. So they're actually creating all these great systems now that you can use to automate this whole thing.
Wow.
So you can do, you know, the lead generation. You don't have to be the one doing the lead generation. You can just be the one going on, you know, on the calls or on the meetings.
Right. Wow. And so that, all of this is, we're talking about free stuff that you can get at breakthroughemail.com/bank, with no S, and you're going to get, the 9-step, template on how to assemble your emails, who to send them to, what to say, how to close it. And then you have a newsletter that's going to give them access to these or show them, introduce them to these services that you're saying that'll automate this whole thing.
What was the last part?
That you're saying, in addition to that, you're going to send them an email that, or emails that are going to introduce them to these services that help them automate the whole thing. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How to automate the whole thing. I mean, we're always looking for the best techniques on how to use email, you know, for sales and for business.
Yeah.
Specifically, you know, prospecting and getting your foot in the door, and, you know, generating qualified leads.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a new space. No one was really talking about cold emailing 2 or 3 years ago. I started, you know, teaching people this a couple of years ago and really, you know, figured out that, like, listen, there's a lot of people who don't want a cold call and who need leads and want to make, you know, make connections and, you know, and need to do business. Because, I mean, what I love about what you guys do, you know, what all the listeners do, is you deal with, you know, multi-million-dollar, you know, every deal could be multi-million dollars.
Right.
And, you know, one right connection can absolutely, you know, make your career or make your year.
Oh, definitely. And, yeah, you know, you could build a business on, you know, two or three good bank clients for sure. Yeah.
Yes. So if you go in, have two or three great clients, you know, send out the email, say you get, you know, bad response rates, say you send out the email to 10 companies, you get, you know, 3 of those, which I consider pretty low.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have a whole new funnel of, you know, of properties and distressed assets and loans that they're now looking to you and giving you at least a look at. And, you know, and what I love about what you're talking about is, you know, there is no MLS, this is all behind the scenes, and you have to know the guy at the right time for him to give you a call, or you know, for you to be able to represent him and get that deal done. And those, the commissions or the, you know, the dollar figure is huge.
Yeah. Yeah, it really can be, especially when you're in the right place. And it is so one-to-one relationship type driven, which is what really attracted me to this, because it seems like with what you've put together here, you really get that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I mean, we're working with people. We're talking to people. We have to get an understanding of what they care about, what they're motivated by, what they're trying to do, how you can help them. And, you know, in the process, you can make a lot of money.
Right.
You know, for people that are, you know, we're real estate agents, not dealing at a corporate level, there is a big jump. I mean, frankly, I don't know if I'd want to, you know, deal with husbands and wives and decisions and, you know, on, say, a multi-million dollar apartment in New York City. At least, you know, from a corporate perspective, there's a little less emotion.
Oh, yeah.
With it.
Oh, yeah. Much. I'd say much less. I mean, that's the thing about it is, you know, when you're dealing with banks, they don't, you know, there's no sentimentality about, oh, remember when we used to push Jimmy in the swing, or geez, I installed that toilet myself, or I picked out that, you know, that yellow for the living room. Like, not, there's, you know, none of that exists, which is part of why I think the opportunity in dealing with institutional repeat sellers of assets like that is really exciting, because you get to kind of cut through the bullshit, and you know, you're just down to numbers, and kind of making a relationship and making, you know, life easier for the person who you're doing business with.
Yeah, I mean, these introductions, these meetings that you can go on, the, you know, the responses from the emails. You know, you go on one meeting, you talk to them. Maybe it's not really a fit right now. Maybe it is, you know, whatever. But as you know, these are assets. These relationships are assets, you know, for your career. And if you have the ability to go into any organization that you choose, you know, the lifetime value of that with the right product, it could be, you know, worth tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars. And, you know, learning how to communicate over email, it's the number one form of communication.
Right.
The advantage that we have is everyone checks their own email.
That's true.
Right. I can write to the CEO of, like, every Fortune 500 company, and I'd say 99% of those CEOs check their own email.
Sure.
Right. And they'll probably check it in the next hour.
Right.
Right. It's so immediate, and it's so easy for them, if you communicate effectively and concisely and create the opportunity for them to say, oh, yeah, talk to, you know, Bill Smith. Like, sounds interesting, talk to Bill Smith. If that's all I need, I don't even need the sounds interesting. Like, many times it'll just be like the name of the guy I need to talk to. I then forward that email and say, you know, hey, you know, Mike Geary thought it might make sense to talk. If so, how does your calendar look?
Right.
So, word choice. You always use the word talk. Don't use the word meet. Don't use the word appointment. Don't use conference call. Talk has a lower implied commitment. Right? They don't know. You don't know exactly what that is, if it's in person, if it's not. And, you know, since you are, you know, just reaching out to them, you know, since this is like your first initial contact, mm-hmm. they need to be okay with the idea or the concept of talking to you, right? Is this something that's worth my time? Because that's really the decision that they're making.
Yeah.
It's, is this worth my time? I'm busy, lots of stuff to do. Is this something that I'm going to add to my plate?
Right.
And then, so use the word talk, and then never use the word, say, schedule, because, you know, if you ask someone how their schedule looks, their schedule looks busy.
Right.
And it also implies, you know, it implies a to-do list. It implies today. It implies tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you ask them how their calendar looks, it implies, you know, days, weeks, and months. So, you know, I can take a meeting in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. That's, you know, I can take a meeting in October. I don't really care, as long as I get the meeting. I will happily wait 3 weeks or a month for the right meeting with a higher level decision maker, because it's going to save me a lot of time in my sales cycle, because I got to a higher level person.
Yep.
Versus being stuck at a lower level with somebody who like doesn't want to risk something by taking you, taking you up channel to the real decision maker. That's one of the challenges with leads. Many times, with leads, it's somebody who's doing research. So, they actually contact you. Somebody's doing research and, isn't the decision maker, but has been tasked to go out and evaluate a bunch of different firms. And they're looking at a bunch of different firms. So there's a bunch of competition.
Right.
So, if you do an outbound and you can say, okay, I choose to meet with this person, you're at a huge advantage, compared to having them decide who's going to reach out to you, because it's not going to be the VP. And it's going to be the lowest level person on the totem pole who's going to ask for information.
Right. Well, I'm excited about this because it really is there. I hear about a couple of things from people. I've got a kind of a big email list or whatever. I've got a number of people who I communicate with who've been through my mini course and who are subscribers and all that to Distress Pro. And what I hear about all the time is that one of the biggest challenges that they have is exactly what we're talking about today, which is getting in somewhere where they can have a conversation with somebody, where they're able to get in and actually communicate what their value is going to be as either a note broker or an REO broker or why the bank should be looking to sell to their firm or to their buyers, over any other. They never even have the chance to have the discussion has been really probably the number one thing that I hear from people in terms of frustrations. And so what I'd love to see is we'll put this out. It's a free podcast. You're offering a free course, which I thank you for, Brian. It's at breakthroughemail.com/bank. And what I'd love to do is if people hear this and or if you go through the free course or whatever it is, if this is resonating with you and you say, yes, I'm definitely interested in learning more about getting into how I'm going to go ahead and do this and automate and penetrate these accounts by email, would you come back and do a webinar and get into some of the more nitty-gritty with us?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I mean, I'd be happy to kind of dig into deeper to like what you should actually communicate in your email pitch and how I should approach it. Because I know we talked a little bit about that, and we didn't have time today to go into really the email pitch. Or, it'd be great if people actually have gone through the template, have a baseline understanding of it, and we can kind of talk about, higher level executional stuff, or even if, we want to take live questions from people, and talk about their specific email. I'd love to help out.
Okay, so let's do this. If you're listening to this and this sounds right, and you want to work on your prospecting, then go sign up for the breakthroughemail.com/bank. Go sign up for that free course and get the free template. Go through there and then come on back to Distress Pro. And in the comments section, you can ask anything you want on this particular podcast, or you can email us at breck@distresspro.com if you have some questions there. But I'd love to hear more from the audience about what you're taking from the course and the template and what the other questions are that are coming up as a result of that and what your challenges are in penetrating these accounts so that we can speak directly to it if I'm able to get Brian or when I'm able to get Brian back on here for something a little more in-depth. But I'm only going to do it if I'm hearing from the audience that this is something that you'd like to do. Brian's a busy guy, and so am I. And so we don't need to be booking these things if it's not going to be appropriate. So, Brian, thanks a lot, man, for coming on here, and I'm honored to have you, especially after coming off a huge show. Probably I don't know as many times 20. Times larger show you were recently on at Mixer G, and then you carved out some time to come on and be heard here. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, Well, I appreciate you emailing me. I mean, you emailed me, created an opportunity. I saw it as an opportunity, and I think from there I just emailed you back and said, let's talk.
Right.
And, you know, that shows you what email can do. You sent one quick email, I responded, we talked, we thought it might make sense, you know, we talked a little bit more about the audiences. And, you know, what I love about what your audience does is they sell multi-million dollar deals, right? You don't need to do a lot of them. You just need to do the right ones, and you need to have access to the right people who need your help.
Right.
And, you know, that's what I do. You know, I want to help people who have great products, services, you know, and have them be able to connect with who their customers are.
Great.
And, you know, if I can help make that connection, you can grow your business and do more business and get more deals and spend less time working and more time on vacation, that's, you know, that's what I'm here to do.
Well, we appreciate it. All right, Brian. Well,
sorry, it's like summer. The summer is winding down. I have vacation on the mind and a baby on the way. So
yeah,
I know I mentioned vacation a few times.
Yeah, but you do know that vacation's over as soon as the baby arrives, right? There's nothing left after that, as I can tell you thrice. So anyway, it's been awesome having you on here. I look forward to talking to you more in the future, and I hope that our audience has picked up on what a huge opportunity it is to kind of change up the way that they're doing what they're doing out there, and I hope that they'll take us up on it and ask some good questions so that we can put together a decent webinar and get them some decent answers.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. All right, well, thanks so much for having me, and look forward to talking to everybody again.
Okay, breakthroughemail.com/bank, and you can download that template. Thanks again.